Stan Tran, Republican candidate for the 1st Congressional District here in Rhode Island. Stan, welcome to WADK.
Thanks for having me on, Dave.
So, have any trouble finding us down here? Newport's kind of far away from Brown and, you know, the big highfalutin ivory tower place where you live.
I had trouble finding the studio because it was the address wasn't very clearly listed.
Yeah, I don't know. We're kind of stealthy like that. It works for us. So, welcome. So, how's it going?
It's great. I've been off from school for, I think, over a month now, and I've been campaigning full-time. So the last 6 months, I've been juggling both medical school and working on this campaign.
See, okay, right there, that's very interesting about you, that mm-hmm. you are, would the right word be interrupted? Your medical
sure.
schooling.
My dean used that word, yes.
Okay, interrupted. So in other words, interrupting implies someday you're going back.
Right, absolutely.
Would that be after your 10 terms in Congress?
I think
Speaker of the House decides he's going to go back and finish his medical degree?
I mean, I like to fix some of the things. I see all the problems in healthcare, and I like to fix some of those issues before going back to medicine. That's
okay,
kind of
so now you would be right now a third year, or you'd be getting ready to be beginning your third year of medical school.
Begin my fourth year.
Begin your fourth year. Okay. And having gone through your website, I listened to a couple of interviews that you did on some other radio stations, which were. I barely heard your voice in some of those interviews. One of the things that did come through to me, and this could perhaps be a nice segue to what I call the Chris Matthews question, mm-hmm. which is, why do you want to be a congressman? You talk a lot about health care directly. In other words, mm-hmm. it's not an anachronism that you're a medical student and you mm-hmm. are a congressional candidate. They actually kind of go hand in hand. Would you say that's a fair statement?
Absolutely.
And how is that?
I mean, that's the reason I got interested in politics in the first place. I mean, before medical school, I was kind of apathetic about politics. I saw the politicians talk on TV, speaking empty words, kind of like, whatever, they do their thing, I do my thing. And I came to medical school to help people. And once I got here, I realized that people get sick because it's just systemic issues that are caused by politicians, and which is why I'm taking a leave of absence and doing this, because I want to fix some of these things.
I'm going to come back to this. I'm going to really want to pick your brain on this subject. I got a feeling that you and I might be on the same page about some of this. I think we've been talking about the wrong thing the entire time. But I'd rather let's talk a little bit more about you. The goal here today, mm-hmm. Hopefully for you, is that the people listening to our show right now get to know you a little bit. So why don't we start at the beginning? How is it? You've got what looks like it's a brief synopsis of your quote-unquote life story on your website, but it sounds pretty fantastic. So why don't you tell who's Stan Tran?
So I guess I should start with my parents. My parents were born in Vietnam. They were in South Vietnam. My father fought with the South Vietnamese Army. And when the country collapsed in 1975, they fled to America and became refugees. So they left with nothing. My father actually didn't even have the money for the passage out of the country. So he snuck on to the fishing boat as a stowaway, pretended to be a crew member. Snuck on in the middle of the night, and by the time they found out, it was too late to kick him off. And so that's how he came to America. He didn't have anything. And in they settled in California. They now have a house and have two cars. And
they still out there?
Yeah.
Okay. Where about California?
Northern California and Santa Clara.
Okay.
So, I mean, I went to... Being born in America is the most fortunate thing that happened in my life. I mean, I was able to go to college here, done some cool stuff, and now I'm in medical school.
Where'd you go to school for undergrad?
I went to Stanford for undergrad.
Oh, that's a pretty good school, I've heard.
So my name is Stanford. My full name is Stanford. I go by Stan, but that's how I got
your
in.
Your name is Stanford?
Yeah.
Get out of here. And you went to Stanford.
Right.
So your parents just, I mean, was that the reason they named you that?
They want a unique name that's easy to spell. If my name was like Dave, for example, they'd be like, which Dave are you talking about? There's like 3 days in the class. So my name is Stanford. I have a younger brother. His name is Lincoln.
His name is like Lehigh or Yale or something.
His name is Lincoln. But he was born February 11th, which is between Abraham right. Lincoln's and Washington's birthday. And had he been born like a week or 2 weeks later, they would have called him Washington instead.
Well, he can't run. Your brother can't run for office in Rhode Island. We got way too many Lincolns already. I'm tired of them all. So tell him, go stay in California. Run there. Right. That'll be fine. People dig that name, but not so much here anymore. All right, so you go to Stanford University, mm-hmm. pre-med, I'm assuming?
Yeah, I studied physics and biology.
Oh, okay.
Pre-med, sure, yeah. There was no pre-med track. You studied what you wanted.
So, physics, why not?
So, yeah, that's an interesting story. I wanted to go to college for 3 years to save my parents some money, but it turns out they redid their financial aid so that my senior year was free. Like, they paid for my living expenses. It was completely paid for. So I just tacked on a physics minor. Mm-hmm. So I did that my senior year.
and then you didn't go directly to Brown.
Yeah, so after that, I taught high school for a year in Arizona in the boarding school. I was teaching science, physics, biology, chemistry.
Just for 1 year out there?
Yep.
What led you to, I mean, that's the beginning of a career for many people.
Right, so after my senior year, when I graduated, there was a summer program with high school kids at Stanford. I was a head counselor for that program. And 3 days before the program ended, somebody asked me, hey, I know a guy out there who's looking for a teacher. Do you want to do this? And I said, yes. Like, I mean, it never crossed my mind until then to become a teacher. And why not?
And you enjoyed that?
I enjoyed it. I enjoyed teaching very much. I didn't enjoy working with administrators so much. I mean,
you and I are going to get along great.
The place I work with was traditional, and they've done things the way it's been passed down generation to generation. Mm-hmm. So I come in with new ideas, and they're like, those are great ideas, but this is the way we've done things. Why don't you just do it this way? So it was frustrating to not be able to pursue my ideas. But I like working with kids a lot. I like teaching a lot.
So you've got a little bit of experience with teaching mm-hmm. teachers.
Yeah.
Probably end up coming back to that one as well, because once again, I looked on your website and I thought there's at least one issue there that I don't think teachers are going to dig too much, but they're not voting in your primary, so don't worry about it. But then you'd already made up your mind you wanted to go to medical school.
Yeah.
Okay, so Brown was, it's obviously fantastic, mm-hmm. and you choose to come out here. You've been here for 3 years now.
Yes.
Living in Providence, east
yes.
side.
I'm east
assuming
side, yes.
Been like student housing or your
it's
own housing.
An apartment.
An apartment. Okay, mm-hmm. so you've been paying taxes in Providence and that sort of thing.
My landlord pays taxes. I just pay them rent.
Okay, well, that's probably good for you. And we get from that to the decision to run for United States Congress.
Right.
Talk about that decision.
So that happened when I got to medical school. I realized that people get sick because they're poor. I mean, if someone is homeless, you can't talk to them about healthy diet. If someone is homeless, they probably don't take their pills or can't get their pills. So priorities first, right? And those issues are beyond the scope of medicine. I've tried to address these issues, like connecting health outcomes to socioeconomic status. I went to the AMA. I was a delegate to the American Medical Association, spoke there at a few conferences, made my pitch. And
when did you – I'm sorry to interrupt you, but when did you do that?
So as a medical student, I was the president of the American Medical Association chapter at Brown.
How long had you been a medical student at that point?
1 year when I became president.
And you already became the president of the – I don't know anything about the AMA's thing at Brown, but mm-hmm. I mean, it sounds like you're moving rather quickly here.
I mean so –
seems to be a theme developing, by the way.
So there's a student section and there's like the adult section, and I was the president of the student section
okay.
at Brown.
So you go to speak to the AMA.
Yes.
Make your pitch.
Yeah. And people like support the idea when I talk to them. I mean, this is kind of – there's rules and bylaws and committee hearings, and it's very much like the way Congress works. So you make your pitch to the committee, and you have people give testimony on your behalf, and then you try to get to build a consensus. And coming into the vote, people sound like they support this idea. I mean, like, who wouldn't support that idea? But when the vote came down...
The idea being in, like, 25 words or less.
That if you're poor, you get sick. Sorry, let me take that back. Being poor makes you more likely to get sick.
Okay.
There's a couple ideas. That's one of the ideas.
All right.
And when the vote came down, there just wasn't – people didn't vote for it. So even though they said they would, they just didn't. That's kind of my first introduction to politics.
Okay, now that's interesting. But then you jump right from that to – I guess United States Congress is appropriate because the size of the issue. If this is your mm-hmm. prime mover mm-hmm. of an issue – and we'll talk about whether or not you would consider yourself a single issue candidate later on in the interview. But if this is your prime mover, Congress would seem to be the place to do it. So is that
right.
why you're there for that reason? And it's sort
right.
of irrelevant who's currently there, who might be running against you in a primary. You happen to live in the first congressional district of Rhode Island. You want to change this one thing. That's the vehicle to do it. Is that all too presumptuous, what I just said?
That's very close to the truth. I mean, had I lived in a district where I like my congressman, I would work with him on these issues and find another way. I mean, there are other ways to pursue this besides running for Congress yourself.
Yeah.
So if I like my congressman, if I thought he was effective, I would not be running against him.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can go ahead and say the next sentence then. You don't like him. You don't like David Cicilline.
I mean, I think...
It's okay.
I don't know him personally, so I don't want to say I don't like him.
Okay.
But I don't think he's effective.
All right. And effective on healthcare or effective in general?
In general. I mean, his ideas aren't being passed. I mean, he's trying to fix some stuff, and we can talk about his approach and my approach, but regardless, his ideas aren't being passed.
Like, do you think that, of course, he's in the minority party in the House of Representatives right now, and it is likely to stay that way.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that a Republican, any Republican, would be more effective, or do you think that it really needs to be a Republican with your mindset? And what I'm going to be driving at here is, do you really consider yourself a Republican across the board, mm-hmm. or are you a Republican because our current incumbent's a Democrat?
So the first question is, would a Republican be more effective? I think so, yes. But I also don't think you should vote for someone because they're of the party that makes them more effective. I mean, you should vote for someone who you believe and you trust, okay. regardless of the party affiliation. The second question, sorry, what was the second question?
Well, I asked you, do you consider yourself a Republican across the board, majority of issues, primarily?
No.
It's a lonely place, Brown University, if you say yes to this, but keep going.
I have been a registered independent my entire life.
Okay.
And you can't run as a first-time candidate being an independent, so you have to pick a party. And of all the issues I look at, I think the way the government spends money is the most important issue. Things like gun laws, abortion, those sort of things come up to a vote once every couple years. They don't really, they're not an issue. I mean, people talk about them all the time, but people don't vote on them in Congress.
In other interviews, we would have already covered those because you will be asked to define yourself
mm-hmm.
based on your stance on abortion first, gay marriage second, guns mm-hmm. third. We're not going to do that here because I know better. But it's tough to get around that. And when you put that R next to your name, the presumption is what you believe on all those things.
Yes, yeah, that's true. People often make assumptions about me based on that R. But I think the way the government spends money is the most important reason that you should pick a party because, I mean, every bill that goes before Congress has to do with money, whether you're spending money, changing hands. I mean, it's all about money. And I think I disagree with the way Congress is approaching the spending issue. And so I'm running as a Republican.
All right, listen, that brings us to our first break. So let's do this. When we come back, I've got a feeling that talking about the cost of health care is something we can go long on. I know that's something that you've got a lot of thoughts on. I'm not smart enough to have the thoughts that you have about it, but I think that we're going to end up agreeing anyway. So let's go ahead. We'll come back. We'll talk about that. Then let's talk about the reality of something that you and I have in common, being a Republican candidate against a Democratic incumbent in Rhode Island. Not fun, very challenging. Takes a lot of courage.
Great.
We're going to go ahead. We'll come right back here with Stan Tran, Republican candidate, 1st Congressional District here in Rhode Island, coming up in just a moment here on the Open Forum program on WADK.
Summer's here at Diego's and the Wharf Pub. Wharf Pub new summer menu is on. Delicious new spiced red sangria with citrus-infused port, pomegranate, agave, and fresh fruit. 2020 New England summer craft beers on draft. At Diego's, Newport Life's best Mexican. Best Mexican. Brunch Saturday and Sunday starting at 9 a.m. Great $5 specials, new brunch cocktails. And Diego's patio is open. Diego's and the Wharf. Diego's and the Wharf. Spend the summer. Bowen's Wharf, Newport.
Planning a trip to Block Island? Check out BlockIsland.com. Everything you need to plan your visit to your favorite island. A calendar of events, the weather forecast, the ferry and airline schedules, restaurant specials, the tide chart, where to stay, money-saving offers from island businesses, blogs, and even a web camera. Available on your computer, iPhone, and tablet. Schedule a trip to the island for the annual Block Island Wedding Show on Sunday, July 13th from noon to 3 p.m. Held under a tent on a hill overlooking New Harbor and the main bathing beach, you will meet the vendors that can make your special event perfect. Visit www.blockislandweddingshow.com. Block Island. Close to home, a world away.
Saturday mornings at 8, WEDK brings you Art & Company. This is Art Berluti. Each Saturday morning, I'll talk with representatives from a wide range of community active organizations. The conversation involves the groups themselves or their special events, fundraisers, and more. It's all about our community and the people, places, and events that make it so unique. Join me for Art & Company every Saturday morning at 8 here on WADK.
Calling all volunteers, have you ever participated in Relay for Life? It's the American Cancer Society's signature event. This year's Relay for Life of South County is June 20th at Narragansett High School. Visit relayforlife.org/SouthCountyRI or call 243-2639 for more info.
WADK weather.
Dawn is warm today with clouds and sunshine. Couple of showers, high 74, then plenty of clouds with a passing shower late tonight. Otherwise, we'll see patchy fog after midnight. A low tonight of 62, then patchy fog for tomorrow. A mostly cloudy day with a brief shower or two. High 69 and a low 61. Partly sunny skies return Wednesday with a high 68. Could see a shower on Thursday. Will be cloudy most of the time. High 74. A thunderstorm possible Friday. High 76. I'm Kevin Snyder on 1540 WADK.
Portsmouth's information station. 1540 WADK.
I am joined here in studio by candidate for the 1st Congressional District, Stan Tran, taking a leave of absence from medical school up at Brown University, Stanford University. You're definitely the smartest guy in the room right now. I imagine that's usually the case. You've decided to do this, and looking at your website and also listening to an interview, and this is one thing I did get out of that interview that we were kind of making fun of. Is when you're asked about, my first question, I actually wrote it here in my notes, healthcare, and I put Obamacare, yes, no. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a one-word answer to mm-hmm. a question. You think we should ditch it, you think we should dump it, you think you're going to support it, you know. And then I listened and read a little bit more. It's like, wait, your thoughts actually kind of go at this a little bit differently altogether.
Right.
So let's talk about healthcare in America right now and what you think needs to happen. This is why, if I can say so, this is why you're running.
Yes.
Okay.
So it's pretty simple. We're the richest country in the world. We should be able to afford to give everyone good health coverage.
That's what President Obama wants to do with Obamacare.
Yes.
But how's that working out?
It's not working that well because it's not affordable. People can't afford their coverage, or the copay for medications, the copay for procedures are too high. The health insurance premiums are too high. And a lot of people don't see that because if you work for an employer, the employer picks up that tab. And so as the cost of healthcare goes up, the employer eats that cost. Sometimes you see it, sometimes you don't. And then that makes the cost of labor expensive. And then, hey, they all move across to some other country where the cost of labor is cheaper.
Okay, this is going to be kind of a long-winded intro to this question. But I was in the military. Mm-hmm. I used to drink. I don't drink anymore. But when you're in my part of the military, we drank like Vikings. We were animals. And we would go out at night, and the next morning we'd be really hungover. And we found the best way to cure a hangover was give ourselves an IV, which we needed to train to do anyway. So we'd do that. And that, you know, that bag of saline solution, you know, we just had them lying around. I was reading this morning that one of those costs $545 under a certain health plan, mm-hmm. and yet costs the manufacturer $1.
Mm-hmm.
The cost of health care, not how it's delivered, but the actual cost of health care, the cost of these procedures. Is this a problem here in America?
Yes, absolutely.
Is this the problem, do you think?
It's the cost of everything. I mean, we have a system. The short answer why the system is so broken is because the healthcare lobby they get to write their own laws. They are the largest lobbying group on D.C. And we spend the most of all the things that the federal and state government spends money on, healthcare is the largest. So there's Social Security, which is a large part of the pie, but that's people pay into it and they get money back out. So that's not really spending per se. You're not
theoretically,
buying
that's a zero-sum game, but
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Whatever.
So aside from that, we have healthcare as the largest spending. I mean, it's larger than military defense spending. It's larger than education. It's larger than farm subsidies. It's larger than all of these things, much larger. And when the healthcare lobby pays that much, then they get to write the rules to their favor. So it's not a Republican or Democratic thing. It's a special interest thing.
I've come to the conclusion over the years that many issues actually kind of have that quality, that it's, who's out there making money off this thing is also going to be the ones making the rules on this thing.
Right, and there's the most money to be had in healthcare, and so it's particularly worse in this field.
I can remember a few years ago, people used to use the phrase baby boomer a lot more when they started talking about how the baby boomers were all going to hit retirement age, which they are now, and they said, and it's going to bankrupt the country. Just then, I watched a lot of sports, and I was used to seeing beer commercials and car commercials and other kind of manly commercials during my Patriots games, and now I see Cialis commercials and commercials for heart medication mm-hmm. and commercials for all kinds of medication with a
low
long
testosterone
disclaimer afterwards, you know, not to be taken if you actually have a head, and you know, and whatever, like blah, 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 that whole thing, and I noticed that the two things kind of went together.
Mm-hmm.
By the same token, when Obamacare was first being proposed, the first thing, I was, okay, I admit, I was predisposed not to like it. But the first thing that got my suspicions up were the health insurance industry really seemed to like it a lot.
Yes.
And so, I mean, it occurs to me that we're not even addressing the issue. Do you think you can address this issue in the United States Congress? And how?
It takes courage to stand up to the special interests. I think it takes someone who understands how health care is delivered, having that personal experience. I think it can draw on the background. It can tell stories that is more effective. And I'm not afraid to take on these battles. A lot of people have kind of dropped the healthcare issue because it's just too much of a hot button issue. Democrats have dropped it because it makes them look bad to talk about it. And Republicans have attacked it. But the Republicans haven't come up with a solution. And that's where I come in. I have ideas, and these ideas are more original. I mean, these ideas aren't the stuff you hear about.
What are some of those?
Getting the cost of prescription medication down by allowing people to buy where it's cheapest, including out of this country if necessary.
Okay.
Right now, the pharmaceutical industry has a monopoly on this market so that they can charge wherever they want because you can't go anywhere else. So you don't pay a fair market price, you pay a monopolistic price. So free market economy, I mean, getting the cost of prescription medication down is something that appeals to everybody. I mean, regardless if you're a Democrat or a Republican, doesn't matter. I mean, that's helping people.
You win elections if you can actually deliver that.
Older
people vote.
Yes.
And they have lots and lots of those little pill bottles. I know my mom and dad did.
Right. And it's, you're totally right, which is surprising that the healthcare lobby has such a tight grip on this, given like how many old people vote. And so I think it's like showing people that there's a way. I think politicians are afraid that if they stick out and speak against this, that the healthcare lobby will fund their opponent and that they'll lose their seat.
They're right.
If I can show them that you can speak out against this and do what's right and still like make it, then that would be amazing. And I think that's going to shake things up a lot.
Now, you said ideas, plural. That was one.
Okay. Coordinating care between hospital systems. Right now, the healthcare system is fractured. So, for example, in Providence, within the 3-mile radius, you have many different hospitals owned by different companies under different systems. And that's fine, but let me just give you the list. So you have Children's Hospital, Hasbro Children's Hospital, Rhode Island Hospital, Women and Infant Hospital, the VA Hospital System, Roger Williams, Fatima Hospital, Miriam Hospital, Butler Hospital, Bradley Hospital. I mean, all of these are within Providence, and they all kind of have the different population that they work with, and it's fine to have that. But all these systems need to work together so that when you get transferred from different hospitals, that people don't have to repeat all the procedures again from scratch. I mean, how many?
Don't the hospitals make an awful lot of money on that, though?
They do. Which is, yeah. I mean
that's got to be the largest volume of their walk-in customers are people who aren't going to be there very long.
Mm-hmm.
So it's what you can do to them in those first 6 hours.
Right.
Do to them.
Yeah, sure.
In those first 6 hours.
Yes.
That they're going to make a nice little, you know, and somebody else is paying for it, so it's okay.
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, Dave, you're a healthy guy, so I think. you look healthy.
He's funny too, folks.
So I don't know how much experience you've had with the healthcare system. But if you switch doctors, I mean, everything happens again from scratch, and all the imaging happens again, and you're being exposed to twice the amount of radiation, when they can easily, if the system was set up better, they can just get that x-ray image that was done 2 weeks ago instead of doing a new x-ray image. But then the hospital gets paid to, you know, take the new x-ray image, so there's no incentive for them to do that. And the way it works right now is that it's terrible. You go to one doctor, and he takes notes on the computer, and if you want to transfer that record, they have to print out that on a piece of paper, fax it over.
You're going right to my next question.
And then scan it back in. And that's so inefficient. I mean, we have internet, we have cell phones that can do this much better, but yet, if you look in our medical technology, it's so backwards.
When I was running 10 years ago, my opponent, then Congressman Kennedy, was supported by and did support this thing called the Quality Institute, if I recall, and their whole thing was being about the digitization of medical records.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of my libertarian and conspiratorial friends, and I love these guys. I swear, I wish I was one of these guys, because every day's a Michael Bay movie for them. They're having fun. But they hate that idea because they think that this is the government intruding into our personal lives. However, that is step one to a solution that you're proposing right now.
Yeah.
These records need to be digitized and also transferred straight over.
Right.
I need to be able to email everything about Dave Rogers from Hasbro Children's to Miriam to Butler to Bradley to wherever, right?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Do you think that's something that's is it the conspiracy types that stand in the way of that, or is there somebody out there that is benefiting from that not being the case financially?
Partially. I mean, there's a privacy concern, and Have you heard of HIPAA?
Sure.
HIPAA rule?
Mm-hmm.
So
what is it, though, for our listeners who may have...
It stands for Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act.
I didn't even know if you knew the answer to that. Good one.
So if you look at the name, it's about porting medical records. And the reason it came about was it was supposed to come up with one standard so that you can transfer records easily. But as soon as that happened, and then the privacy concern came about, was that if you can transfer records easily, then, you know, how can you keep your stuff private? And so now HIPAA has, when you say HIPAA, the first thing you think of is about keeping patients' records private. And this thing about transferring records between different systems no longer...
It's kind of like the soundbite here. If I wanted to be a lobbyist against this,
mm-hmm.
I would use the doctor-patient privilege thing. It might not even apply, but I think that's what you could get people to buy into. It's like only your doctor knows about that horrible thing that did that caused the malady that you have.
The privacy issue, yeah.
Right.
Is the easy soundbite.
And if we're sticking that on Yahoo,
mm-hmm.
everyone's going
to
know.
Right. So to be clear, we're not talking about keeping all of the information at one data center. That would be a privacy issue. I mean, right now, if you look at the way the paper records are kept, every doctor's office has a paper record about their patients sitting in their office, and that if you want to transfer it, then you make that call, make that request, and then they transfer only what you want them to transfer. So the same thing would happen, except electronically. One doctor's office would have a data server keeping information of those patients, and that no one's sharing it unless the patient authorizes it.
Now we're getting a little deep on this
sure.
privacy thing, perhaps too deep, but what we're really talking about here is that your entry to medical care, whether it be for the same facility for multiple visits or for different facilities for, you know, like preceding care,
mm-hmm.
Your entry is unnecessarily costly because redundant tests are run.
Yes.
That's the actual thing that we're going after.
Right.
Is that correct?
That's partly it, yeah. I mean, that's partly because you can't transfer the records and also because of the fear of malpractice.
Fear of malpractice.
Yeah, so, I mean...
Let's hold that thought.
Okay.
We're probably going too deep on this one particular thing, and I'm going to want to get us back out to politics and perhaps some other issues here.
Sure.
In a moment. You've got some interesting views that I saw on your website and I might want to dig into. Can you stick around for a little
Absolutely.
While?
Absolutely.
Okay, excellent. We got to take a break right now, so let's go ahead and do that. When we come back, what I want to talk about is fear of malpractice, perhaps touch on malpractice insurance, patent protection, that sort of thing. These are the issues that if this was 2 hours, we'd be digging into in some depth. I think that these issues are fascinating and really what we need to be talking about. And we're not. We're not even close to talking about it in this country. But also I need people to get to know you in a little bit more broad of a sense. So let's do all that. Stan Tran, Republican candidate for the 1st Congressional District here in Rhode Island, coming up and sticking with us here on the Open Forum program on WADK.
Are you predictable? When was the last time you surprised someone with something totally unexpected? At ProFlowers, we think predictability is boring. So we're making it easy for you to be unpredictable by offering our best-selling 100 spring blooms for just $19.99. Plus, we're giving away a free glass vase with every order. But hurry, because this incredible deal ends this Friday. Go to ProFlowers.com, click on the blue radio microphone in the upper right corner, and enter the secret code 7373. That's ProFlowers.com, secret code 7373.
Talk of the Town with Bruce Newberry.
Hi, Bruce Newberry. Weekdays at 9, we're all about your town. It's Talk of the Town. I talk to local newsmakers, local celebrities, and you. Plus news updates, voting in the Bay, and more. Talk of the Town. Talk radio for people that don't listen to talk radio. Weekdays right after the WADK Morning Report.
Take WADK to work for the Talk of the Town, your hometown information station. 1540 WADK. Now, your local headlines on 1540 WADK.
The Coast Guard saved two sailors off Sakonnet Point over the weekend. After their catamaran capsized, they were able to right the vessel and tow it to Third Beach in Middletown. There were no injuries reported. The cause of a fatal motorcycle crash in South Kingstown is under investigation. 28-year-old Kyle McCullough of Wakefield crashed early Saturday morning. He was pronounced dead at South County Hospital. The Rhode Island Senate has approved a bill that would ban the use of any non-hands-free personal wireless communication devices while driving. If the House approves, the law would ban cell phone use while behind the wheel and could go into effect in June of 2017. Partly sunny, not as warm, maybe a couple of showers later this afternoon, high 75. Art Berluti, WADK News.
Listen to 1540 Live every weekday afternoon at 4. 1540 WADK.
If you listen to my show at all, you know that I am so completely in love with the sound of my own voice that it's really just kind of sickening. And in that light, perhaps, I am interested in healthcare solutions, but not the ones that are being talked about in America. And I'm not even going to stick this one on the Obama administration, which I think I could definitely do. But just in America right now, we have lost the intellectual battle that has been waged against us by the pharmaceutical industry and the healthcare industry, the health insurance industry, and their attorneys.
Right.
We don't even talk about the right stuff. But you and I, who I think probably have this thought process in common, you being far more qualified to speak about it, we're going too deep. Nobody's getting to know you. So we were talking during the break, and you're like me. You actually want to talk about intellectual stuff and dig into it.
Right.
We've got and I'm sorry, I forgot your name.
Joanna
is sitting here. She's a campaign professional, and she goes, "We got to talk about how the campaign's going." I'm like, "Okay, how's the campaign going?"
So it's going really well. I'm starting to meet people on the streets now who recognize me and who know me, and that's great. I mean, it's about name recognition, and people have to know who they're voting for. So I was at the farmer's market on Saturday, and I was just going out meeting people. And this,
which town, which city?
This is the Hope Street Farmer's Market in Providence.
Okay.
And this lady was looking at me, like making eye contact as I was making the rounds. So I came over and talked to her, and she had a stroller and had a little baby inside, and she recognized me. She said, "You're Stan Tran." I'm like, "Yeah." So I talked to her, and she interrupted me, and she told me that.
It's kind of weird, isn't it, when that starts happening?
She said that I delivered her baby because I was
get out.
Yeah.
Did you?
I did. I mean, I delivered many babies. She probably was one of the babies I delivered. I mean, yes, I delivered her baby. I was on the OB-GYN rotation 5 months ago, and I delivered like about 10 babies myself and a few more that I assisted on during my rotation there. And she must have been she was one of the patients I delivered. I just don't remember her as well as she remembers me.
Well, I think you got her vote. Did you ask for it? Did you ask for her vote?
I was so shocked. I forgot to ask for her name. And see, I mean, I would love to like quote her and just, you know, invite her to some of my events. I just forgot because I was so shocked. I did get a picture with her and the baby.
For that vote. There's so many things that I learned when I was doing this that are the old school. Tip O'Neill there's a whole chapter in a book that I read about Tip O'Neill. And it's like, yeah, you have to ask for every vote. There was some story about a woman, he shoveled her driveway every single day, like, you know, when he was like a young guy, and she didn't vote for him. And he asked her, you know, because he asked her, "So, you know, thank you for voting for him." She goes, "I didn't vote for you." He's like, "Why?" And he's like, "You didn't ask me." And it's like, you know, people like to be part of the process, and they wish to be asked.
Mm-hmm.
So now how is all that going? I mean, this is, we were kidding around before, and actually you probably ought to talk about this too. I said that being a candidate for political office in Rhode Island, but I'd say probably anywhere, you're auditioning for a spot on a reality show, probably the nation's oldest reality show, really.
Mm-hmm.
And that is such a good comparison, because it really is. And you actually, like, you go, "Oh, well, as a matter of fact."
Yeah, so some producer reached out to me and asked me to be on a reality TV show that he's pitching to his network, and it's still in the early stages.
You got to totally do that. You've got to totally do that. Absolutely. I swam 96 miles in that nasty water out there during my campaign, and it was stupid, and I hated it, and it worked.
Right.
So if you're on a reality show, which probably wouldn't air during the campaign, that'd be kind of unfair.
Right.
They would get in all kinds of trouble. Right?
Yeah, it would air afterwards.
But if you actually were to run again perhaps someday, everyone's going to, you'll be a shoo-in. You'll get endorsement deal. You see what happens? Look at Elizabeth Hasselbeck for you. I mean, she's annoying. And she's like got an entire media career right now. We spent a great deal of time talking about healthcare I wanted to go into a couple of issues on your website. What is your website, by the way, so people know?
www.stantran.us.
Okay. And you got a Facebook page?
Yeah. So I have
we'll do all this at the end of the show again, but give me all the vital statistics here, how people can get in touch with your camera.
So on my website, I have my contact information. You can call me. You can shoot me an email.
www.stantran.us.
Yes. Okay. I also have a Twitter tag, StantranRI.
And it's spelled like it sounds.
Yeah. And Facebook page, if you just like Google my name, it's the first thing that comes up.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I Googled your name just on Google, and Stan Camp Congress is the first thing that came up there. Yep. So I go through the issues. What did I say? Look at my notes here. There was one that kind of jumped out at me. I'm going to get you in a little bit of trouble here with at least half the people, and then going to get you in trouble with the other half like right away after.
Sure, because I like getting into trouble.
On weapons, on guns,
mm-hmm.
you... What I read, and you can tell me whether or not this is accurate, said you're kind of looking for a ban on assault weapons,
yes.
But you also believe that concealed carry is something that is actually good and we should allow here in Rhode Island. So that's like, you know, really taking, I mean, I've never seen those two issues that way together.
Mm-hmm.
Concealed carry, yes. Assault weapons, no.
Yes.
Talk about that.
So I think we should only have laws that make sense and laws that we enforce. Concealed carry, the ban on concealed carry is not a law that is easily enforced or is being enforced. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. Perhaps you know more about this than I do. But, I mean, if someone carries a weapon concealed, they're not going to get in trouble because you don't know it's there unless something happens. And so the people who are following the laws, law-abiding citizens, are the people who don't mind having weapons in their hands.
And that's a very important statement you just made right there in terms of your point of view.
Mm-hmm.
You believe that, you know, it's perfectly within an American's right, you know, Second Amendment, that the people who abide by the law. It's like, no, it's okay for them to have guns.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, guns is an issue because of all the things you hear on the news of people doing bad things with guns. Guns in the right hands are fine. I have no issues with that. I think I've shot guns. I've shot assault rifles. They're a lot of fun. I enjoy it. It's like a challenging sport. But it's how you use some. It's a few people who use it incorrectly that gets everyone else in trouble. So with the ban, if you have a ban on concealed carry, the people who are law-abiding aren't carrying weapons because they're not allowed to in this state. It's practically impossible to get a concealed carry license. And the criminals who don't follow the law are carrying it. And so that it doesn't make any sense for that law.
But
to
assault
be
weapons?
The assault weapons, I think they're fun. I mean, I just don't see a need for, in our society, to have a weapon that has a high capacity magazine, can fire many bullets. There just isn't legitimate use for that.
Do you believe that defining what is an assault weapon is mm-hmm. a hindrance to passing that kind of legislation? Because I believe the gun industry has made it their business to just keep moving that line back and forth.
So, I mean, right now, the way an assault weapon is defined, for example, if you have a shroud over the barrel to protect yourself from the hot barrel, I mean, that's not important unless you're shooting hundreds of rounds where the barrel gets hot enough to burn yourself.
Okay.
I mean, there's in civilian use, there is no, I can't think of a reason why you would need to shoot hundreds of rounds and then like carry the weapon close to you where you can burn yourself. So
right,
like,
that's an interesting way of looking at it. I hadn't actually heard that interpretation. I mean, not that interpretation, but that part of the law before. Yeah, and I've burned myself.
So there's a pistol grip. I mean, a pistol grip helps you shoot. Maybe perhaps, again, you know more about this than I do, but it allows you to shoot from the hip, whereas a rifle grip is harder. But if you're shooting accurately, you're shooting from your shoulder and not from your hip. So why do we have guns that makes it easy for you to shoot from your hip? It just we don't need guns like that in our society.
Yeah, you get in the, okay. I don't want to linger here too long, only because we're getting too deep into only a couple of issues. What else? The foreign policy is something mm-hmm. that particularly and you're if you don't mind me saying this, you're a younger candidate. I mean, you said you're 26, right?
26 years old, pretty much as young as you can be. You have to be 25 to run.
Foreign policy is something I usually like to see. Okay, has this guy done any of his homework here? Because it's tougher.
Yes.
It's not something that, at age 26, unless you probably coming out of the military, the Foreign Service, or the Peace Corps, you got any real, you know, firsthand knowledge. Now, obviously, your family history is an interesting one.
Mm-hmm.
But when I go to your foreign policy page, the very first thing you do is kind of go after the and I would say I agree with you on this issue. I found it striking though that it was your first issue, and that is our system of appointing ambassadors in this country.
Yeah,
that this tends to be political patronage.
Right,
like Max Baucus right now is, and he may be a great ambassador to China, but I bet you he doesn't speak a word of Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
And you think our ambassadors need to be able to speak the language?
Yeah,
I think that's an interesting litmus test. Talk about that.
So the fact that ambassadors are appointed as opposed to merit-based, I mean, that's an issue, but it's a reflection of how we approach diplomacy. Diplomacy is important. I mean, that's the diplomacy will avert wars if you do it right, if you do it well. And if we're appointing political appointees, people who fundraise well for the president gets a slot in some small country that we don't care about. I mean, that just reflects poorly in our country. And that hurts us. And we end up spending money to correct for these problems, whether it's fighting wars or giving money to countries to build up our reputation.
Okay, this is kind of a loaded question I'm going to ask you, but do you think that's our biggest foreign policy issue right now?
It's not a specific issue, but it's like a bigger umbrella that kind of reflects on us. I mean, we're viewed very poorly in certain parts of the world, partly because of this, partly because we don't go about doing diplomacy right.
No, so you think that our ambassadorial, probably saying the word wrong, our ambassadors should come out of the U.S. Diplomatic Corps, people who are already professional diplomatic people.
Yeah, I would love to see that.
In other words, it would be like a vertical ascension through embassy.
Yes, and if you have an ambassador that speaks the language of that country, I mean, that shows so much in terms of respecting their culture and understanding their problems and issues and how we can be a part of that. So, I mean, understanding the issue is like the first part. So speaking of foreign policy, let's take a look at Ukraine. We can talk briefly about that. All the things I've read, nothing in the media has talked about why Ukraine is an issue in the first place. If you look at history, the location of Ukraine is right between Russia and Europe. And there's always that conflict between Russia and Europe, right? So during World War II, parts of Ukraine were with the Nazi Germany, and parts were with the Soviet Union, Russia, whichever one it was back then. It's always been caught between those two places. Most recently, there was like the pro-European Union protests, and when the prime minister went with Russia instead, that's what precipitated this whole thing. So forever in history, it's always been caught between these two places. And like that's the context that you need to understand why Ukraine is an issue. And no one talks about that. No one ever talks about the history and that conflict.
I would agree with you there, not to, you know, I'm not working for your campaign, but immediately in the aftermath of what's happened in the Ukraine, there's a lot of people in America saying, well, this is what the Ukrainians want. Mm-hmm. And they'd say, which Ukrainian? And in other words, there's a very muddled message coming out of there, and I think we needed a strong American voice over there just to tell us, no, here's what's really going on. Now, given that, let's skip back to you here. Our ambassadors should speak the language, but we shouldn't give any of those countries where those ambassadors are living any money at all.
No, that's not true.
Okay,
that's not true.
You know where I'm going with this. Again, looked at your website.
Right.
A lot of foreign aid is out there right now. Do you think that maybe perhaps too much?
I think a lot of foreign aid is not going to the right place. You want to get foreign aid to help the people of that country, but often it's going towards the government officials who are corrupt and who are pocketing it and giving it to their family members or relatives or whatever it is.
You mentioned Nigeria, I believe, and was it Tanzania?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm not in favor of cutting foreign aid. I just think that we should be smart about how we do things.
Excellent. Okay. We've gone through quite a bit of range here. I did want to focus in on basically your motivation for running being healthcare policy. Mm-hmm. And even though we spoke about it longer than I would talk about a single issue, we went into more depth than we typically would with the candidate. Hit a couple of other ones. Obviously, there's a lot more to know. We're going to take our last break here. When we come back, I just want to talk about campaign. How do you win this thing? And also make sure that if people want to know the answers to more questions about you or they want to get on the Stan Tran team, they know how to do it. So we'll do all that, and we come back here with the final segment, the Open Forum program here on WADK.
Saturday mornings at 10 on 1540 WADK, listen to The Landlord Lounge Show. Fun and informative talk about buying, selling, leasing, and management of investment property. The Landlord Lounge Show, every Saturday morning at 10 on WADK.
I remember the moment. I'll never forget that moment.
As long as I live.
As long as I live.
Several of us were working to rescue a family.
The house collapsed on top of the cellar door and trapped them.
We had to use Humvees and heavy machinery to move massive trees and debris.
We got them out.
We helped a lot of people out.
It felt good to know I could really make a difference.
Because I'm a citizen soldier in the National Guard.
Be there the moment your community needs you. Learn more at NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Rhode Island National Guard. Aired by the Rhode Island Broadcasters Association and this station.
Join Mix 99.3 and AM 1540 WADK on Friday, June 20th from 6 to 11 p.m. at Bellemare on Goat Island for Au Courant. A night of fashion and fun, to benefit child and families community programs in Rhode Island. Okurant celebrates and promotes the extraordinary creative talents of some of the finest designers in the Northeast. Come to see them as they give us a preview of their upcoming lines and team up for an incredible runway fashion show. Enjoy a few cocktails and indulge in the exclusive designer sale. For one glamorous night, designers descend on Newport, Rhode Island for the biggest fashion event of the season. Don't miss out on this spectacular evening that benefits a wonderful cause, Child and Families Community Programs. Tickets for Au Courant are now on sale at childandfamilyri.com. Brought to you in part by AM 1540 WADK and the all-new Mix 99.3.
WADK weather.
Dawn is warm today with clouds and sunshine. Couple of showers, high 74, then plenty of clouds with a passing shower late tonight. Otherwise, we'll see patchy fog after midnight. A low tonight of 62, then patchy fog for tomorrow. A mostly cloudy day with a brief shower or two. High 69 and a low 61. Partly sunny skies return Wednesday with a high 68. Could see a shower on Thursday. It will be cloudy most of the time. High 74. A thunderstorm possible Friday. High 76. I'm Kevin Snyder on 1540 WADK.
Get news updates all day, every day at WADK.com.
And we are back. Welcome back to the Open Forum program. We have been talking to Stan Tran, Republican candidate, Rhode Island's first congressional district. That's something that I'm familiar with. And I guess what I want to do here, we've got about 6 minutes left to go in the program. So I want to talk about your campaign specifically.
Sure.
Now, you've got a primary opponent.
Yes.
A military veteran.
Yes.
Do you think that we should, and I know this is an issue thing, and I haven't set you up for this one at all. Bo Bergdahl, what should we have done there?
On what?
The Bo Bergdahl, the guy that we just traded for the five Guantanamo detainees. Tough one.
It's a tough one. I mean,
your primary opponent's bound to have an opinion on it.
So, when the trade first happened, the public, or at least I didn't know about all the issues behind Bergdahl. I mean, I thought he was a POW, but then there's news coming out that he walked off base, that he's walked off base before. I mean, I think understanding that well is important to having an opinion on this. And I think the information isn't out. All the information isn't out regarding those circumstances.
Okay, and the reason I hit you there, right there, is, and sorry if that was a little bit blindside, but I'm going to have your primary opponent will be on with me this week on Thursday. I'll be having him in here. And I'm sure we're going to talk a little bit about that. Have you guys met yet? Have you actually been in the same Republican forum
with them?
You guys
speak,
do the whole town committee meeting where each one of you gets up and talks? How's that going?
It's great. I've hit all the Republican city committees that meet regularly. Not all of them meet regularly, but the ones that do, have spoken to them.
Any endorsements yet?
No, they make that. It's coming up soon.
Okay. All right.
And it's been people have been very receptive to my ideas. I mean, I have original ideas that solve problems, and I'm not just angry and speaking rhetoric.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I can sense that right now just listening to you. Have you done any sort of informal candidate forums? I know sometimes they spring those things on you. I've been in somebody's living room where suddenly I'm in a three-way debate with Christine Ferguson and Mike Battles. But, you know, like, oh, I guess we're doing this, you know. Has that happened to you yet?
So we're trying to set that up with
the
other candidates and to have a discussion in a forum or whatever it is.
Now, how about how much money do you think it's going to take for you to get this done?
Less than an incumbent.
Less than an incumbent. Why is that?
Yeah, because I'm different. I'm approaching this very differently. So the incumbent can be expected to raise $1 million or $2 million, whatever it is. I think I can win this on 1/7 of what he has.
1/7.
1/7.
All right, now you're just talking crazy talk.
Yeah, it's been done before, and I think I have what it takes to pull that off.
Doesn't he have to commit a capital crime for it to be done at 1/7 the cost?
I'm not
saying it won't. I'm just saying, you know,
His approval rating is not. It's been low, and it's always been low, and people don't like him. But he's well organized, and that helps him a lot. I mean. Having good ideas.
1/7 is an odd figure to have pulled out of your.
Sure, it's by looking at other races in the past and seeing that there have been candidates who've won congressional and senate seat on much less.
Now, I don't want to be too unfair. I know that your campaign is I don't want to call it fledgling, but it's still early. But it's getting late, if you know what I mean.
Yes.
But have you guys like sat down and really put out a campaign plan? Do you expect to be up on television, assuming you win the primary? I mean, all of those things.
So a lot of the people who are giving money, like PACs and all that stuff, won't give money until after the primary.
That is correct.
So I'm making all those connections now. And, I mean, once the primary happened, it's going to be like it's a late primary. So there's less than 2 months between September 9th, the primary, and November 4th, the election. And that's when all the most of the money and most of the spending will happen. Right now it's building up the base, building up those connections so that can happen.
Do you know why that is? Why we have our primaries so late?
No, I don't.
Every one-party state has it like that. It's so incumbents can be a little bit more protected.
Yeah.
It's hard to turn around and win a primary. All they got to do is make sure you've got one. If you're a real threat, this isn't your case. I don't think that you or your opponent, either one of you is working at the behest of anybody else. But, that's what that's all about. It's incumbent protection. So how are you going to beat David Cicilline in 2 minutes?
I'm going to work harder than him. I've been going out every day meeting people. I'm going to events wherever people gather, I'll show up. I think my ideas are original, and they're good ideas.
How are you going to beat him in Providence? You might not be able to win Providence, but you're going to have to get an awful lot of votes there.
So it's really surprising because I go out to like the farmers market in Providence and meet the crunchy granola type people.
Yeah, but you didn't deliver 28,000 babies, unfortunately. I mean, not that you're not properly capable of that. That would work, but
people are receptive to my ideas. When your approach, healthcare education shouldn't be partisan. I mean, we're here to make people better, deliver care cheaply. We're here to educate our children and try to do it more, less costly. It shouldn't be partisan. It's become partisan, and my approach is very nonpartisan. It's a very practical, pragmatic way of solving these things, and that resonates with people, both left and right. It doesn't matter where you are. You see this. It's fresh. You like it.
Right now, today, person to person, one-on-one, I believe you can actually absolutely accomplish precisely what you're saying. I think you're extremely effective like this. Television and the money for that will be elusive, and at 1/7 the price. I wish you the best of success on that, and I want you to make a liar out of me on that one. In between those two things, the bridge too far of $1 million and trying to meet people one at a time and get that number up to 100,000.
Right.
What happens in between? What do you do in between to be successful here, do you think, as a candidate?
I mean, I'm just going out and working really hard and trying to meet people.
And get on that reality show. That wouldn't be bad.
Right.
And then get a lot of people to write about that.
Right. I mean, counting on people like yourself to like me and to give me a fair shake in the media.
I do, man. I do. No, I like the fact that every single thing that's coming out of your mouth does seem to be something that you actually think. That's good. It's going to be hard because the more successful you get, the more they're going to come after you.
Right.
And there is that little problem of the pharmaceutical industry because they're definitely not going to like you.
They won't like me.
And those guys have got, like, SEAL teams of their own.
Right. They got deep pockets.
Yeah. All right, listen, how does somebody get into, I want to know all the information. I am listening to Stan Tran right now. I want to, do you have like a name for them, like parrot heads, or is there like Tranniites, or Transformers?
Yeah.
Transformers, awesome.
So TransformRI is our Twitter tag.
Excellent.
And we're thinking of calling our supporters Transformers. It's not official yet, but we're playing around with that idea.
Make that official. That's awesome.
Transformers?
Yes!
You think older people...
You've got a movie right now on... You don't need commercials. They're already on TV. Marky Mark's out there plugging your campaign right now.
All right.
Come on. Transformers, awesome.
So
say them all real quick. We got 20 seconds.
So the website is www.stantran.us. There's a donate button. I really appreciate donation to help get the message out to the 100,000 people that I need to get this message out to. So they can
www.stantran.us.
Yes.
Facebook page?
Facebook Stan page, Tran. Yeah. Just you look up Stan Tran on Facebook. I come up. Twitter is StanTranRI. I have my official announcement.
We got to run.
Okay.
Okay, but I'm going to get this information from you, and I'm going to get it out. Plus, it's going to be on our website, www.wadk.com. Stan Tran, thank you very much. We've gone a little bit over time. That's it for today. I'll see you guys tomorrow here on the Open Forum program on WADK.
Thank you.
This has been the Open Forum with Dave Rogers. The views and opinions expressed are not necessarily those of station management.